Good evening, my dear listening friends. Again, this is Evangelist Cecil Moe. And as you know, I'm a converted alcoholic, and I gave my heart to Christ over 56 years ago in a pastor's home in Seattle, Washington. Then, 1 year later, God called me to preach. Well, folks, this last week, my wife and I, we had two services at the prison. And the first service, we only had one man. But we had a wonderful time with him, and we shared the gospel with him. And he's going up for 20 to 30 years. I tell you, friends, it's heartbreaking to hear those men and women as they tell their story. Yes, I know they did the crime, and if they did the crime, they should do the time. I'm not a bleeding heart liberal, but it still hurts me when I see them have to go to prison. Well, now this Sunday we have another service, and we had 20 gangbangers, women, last week, and boy, they were tough. They weren't very interested, but three of them gave their heart to Christ. I hope we have a better service this week. Well, friends, I'll be with you for half an hour tonight. I wish you'd just kick off your slippers, sit back and relax. Pour your glass of iced tea or a cup of coffee. Let's see what the Lord has for us, okay? Well, friends, this is our thought for the day. Faith without works is like an automobile without gas. I've named this message just plain faith. And I read in James 1, 5, and 6, if you need wisdom, ask our generous God, and he will give it to you. He will not rebuke you for asking. But when you ask him, be sure your faith is in God alone. Do not waver, for a person with divided loyalty is as unsettled as a wave of the sea that blows and tossed by the wind. Well, the first question I'm going to ask tonight, how important is faith? And I read it Hebrews 11:1. It is impossible to please God without faith. Do you want to be unpleasing to God? Of course you don't. But without faith, you will never please God, according to Scripture. You know, the other day I heard a TV evangelist spend one half hour preaching on faith and the next half hour begging for money. Beloved, that is not faith. Practice what you preach. Now, I see, you know, churches today are trying to get people to make pledges on how much they will give during the next year. That's not faith. These preachers want to see what they're going to have so they can go on and operate. That's not faith. That's by sight. When I first surrendered to preach, believe me, we walked by faith every minute of the day. God knew I wasn't very smart, and he put challenges before us every day. It truly caused me to pray much. With the economy the way that it is today, we really have to trust the Lord. None of us know what tomorrow holds, but we can know who holds tomorrow. That's Almighty God. You know, all these things that are happening in the world tonight, and oh my stars, all these fires and tornadoes, earthquakes and hailstorms, they're sent by God. Now, I've said this before, I believe truly God is trying to get our attention. America needs to repent. America needs to get rid of our corrupt government and get some honest people in there. And I know there's honest people somewhere, but they're not in our government. Well, when we see the corruption that is within the world. We must keep our eyes on Jesus. When we see our leaders doing what they're doing, and we're hearing people say, they've done a lot for us. We don't care what they've done. Believe me, friends, there's going to be a day of reckoning. We know that they get away with a lot of things, but someday, beloved, they're going to have to stand before God and give an account. And many of them are going to burn in a devil's hell. And that doesn't make me happy. I want to tell them about Jesus. Well, we see homosexuals and lesbians parading up and down the streets saying we're gay, but we're proud. We're reminded what happened in Sodom and Gomorrah. The town was rampant with sexual sins. And what did God do? He destroyed it. We have homosexual pastors here in Colorado who tell the congregation that God made them that way. Don't they ever read the Bible? Sure they do. But they say that it doesn't pertain to them. I've never seen alcoholics parading up and down the street saying, we're alcoholics and we're proud. See, friends, God didn't make Cecil Moe an alcoholic. Cecil Moe did. Now that I've shot a few rabbits, let's get on with the word faith. Has God ever given you a job to do and you didn't have faith enough to carry through with it? Now, dear friends, that is sin. You need to repent, confess it, and God will forgive that sin and give you a clean slate, and you can start all over again. That's why I love to go to prison and tell these men and women God is a God of a second chance. We're all born in sin, and we're all headed for hell until we repent of our sins and ask God to come in our heart. Now, I don't want you to think that Cecil Moe is running around telling you he has great faith. But when I believe God, when he gave me a job to do and I told him I'd do it, the blessings of God were upon me. Now, case in point. After I was saved in Reverend Tom Baird's house in Seattle, that morning I went home. I begged my wife to give me another chance. After graveling and pleading, my wife, she considered to give me one more chance. I went down and bought a Bible, got a haircut, and then drove 3 miles to a friend of mine who was an alcoholic. In fact, we had drank together in a bar a week before. I said, Bill, guess what? I joined the church. He said, when? I said, last night. Then I told him my story, and he said, shoot, I belong to a church in Ohio. In fact, Cecil, I sang in the choir. I said, Bill, you don't have what I have. He said, what do you have? Friends, I'd only been saved a couple of hours before. I knew nothing about the scriptures. All I could do is say, I've quit drinking, and I knew deep within my heart, God had truly delivered me from alcoholism. And I knew that I was a Christian. The Bible tells us that the Spirit of God gives us the assurance that we are the children of God. That's why I say, do you know where you're going when you die? Of course, if you're born again, the Holy Spirit of God gives you that assurance in your heart that you're going to go to heaven. Well, the results of that visit caused Bill and Lola to receive Christ as their personal Savior. Yes, I was scared. My first experience of witnessing. Well, then God called me to preach. At first, I thought I was hallucinating. I could never preach. I'm just a dumb old country boy from the Dalles, Oregon. I'm here to tell you, friends, if God calls you for a task, by faith, believe him. God takes the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. The only education I had was high school, 3 years trade school, and 1 year business college. I knew nothing about the Bible, but I was smart enough to join a Christ-honoring church and follow the Lord in New Testament baptism. That's an act of obedience. Then I got under a good spiritual preacher. In fact, the man that led me to Christ. Well, if you came out of one of Reverend Tom Baird's services, you were challenged to follow Jesus. You were encouraged to witness and do personal evangelism. And I tell you what, he took me by the hand and trained me how to do that kind of work. Friends, pastors are too busy today going to meetings and how to, or going to the Holy Land to teach soul winning. They don't have time. And friends, if they read the Bible, that's exactly what a pastor's job is. Not only to preach the gospel, but to train others that they might do the same thing. I wonder how many listening to this broadcast who was ever taught by your pastor soul winning or witnessing. Probably none. I was told that I had to go to seminary and Bible college to be able to preach. Well, I missed seminary, but I did get some Bible college. Men, if God is calling you to preach, get on your knees and ask God's Holy Spirit to lead you and to teach you. He is the best teacher of them all. And I tell you, I remember when I heard that, we had a man in our church that I really looked up to, and he told me one day that our preacher was lying to us. It like to stun me. It shocked me. He said, you can't keep your salvation. You could lose it any time. Well, the Bible don't teach that, but I didn't know that. Well, I went to church that Sunday morning, and Tom Baird got up, and he said, you know, I got a chance to go to Southwestern Seminary. And he said, we had some of the greatest Bible teachers in the world. However, the greatest of them all is God's Holy Spirit. If you have a problem, you have something that you want to know, and no one can answer the question, you go to him because he'll tell you. I could not wait till I got home that day, Sunday, to get on my knees and say, Lord, I don't know whether this guy's telling the truth. Lord, show me. Every scripture I looked at almost was eternal security. God does give you eternal security. When you put your trust and faith in him and repent, you are a new creature in Christ Jesus, and no man can pluck you out of his hand. Well, I remember when I was going to high school in the Dalles, the people I was milking cows for to put myself through high school, their pastor was Reverend Ted Anderson. He was a young man. He spent hours on his knees and in the Word of God. You know what, friends? He went on to be one of the greatest Baptist preachers in America. He taught in Biola College. He had a radio broadcast. And one night, while milking the cows, that dear pastor came into the barn and sat down on a milk stool and told me about Jesus. See, after losing my sister and my mom by death, I was so bitter, I told him I wasn't one bit interested. Now, many, many years later, he came to Denver for a convention. I called him on the phone, and yes, he remembered little Cecil Moe, and I thanked him for witnessing to this little broken-hearted boy of years gone by. And I told him I had accepted Christ and now was a Baptist preacher. Oh, we rejoice together. Friends, I get phone calls from people all over America who I was privileged to lead to Christ. Oh, what a joy. Even people who saw me appeared on many nationwide television talk shows, including the 700 Club. I've led them to Christ on the TV, and one night, when I got back from the 700 Club, I got a phone call. this guy was crying. He said, "Cecil, I'm an alcoholic and I want to talk to you." And I said, "Well, listen, you tell me where you live and I'll just come over and we'll sit down." "Oh, you can't come to my place. I live in Amarillo." I said, "Well, how in the Sam Tar did you get a hold of me?" "Well," he said, "I saw you on the Sam Hunter Club yesterday and I called them and they gave you your address, your phone number. And I led that young man to Christ and he went on to join a church and was rejoicing." That is the most wonderful thing that can happen to a soul winner. One day a deacon in our church said, "Cecil, my brother owns a large roofing company in San Francisco, and I'll bet he'd hire you and you could go to seminary in Berkeley." So I called American Roofing Company and I told him I was a roofer wanting to go to seminary. And he said, "Last night we had the huge storm. Please come down and go to work for me and bring as many roofers as you can." Oh boy, was I shocked. Well, let me tell you what. I meant I'd have to leave my family in Seattle. I went to Brother Tom Baird's house and told him of the news. And he said, "Praise the Lord." I wanted him to say, "Cecil, we can't get along without you at our church." My heart sunk. Well, 2 days later at the Greyhound Bus Depot in Seattle, I kissed my sons, my daughters, and my wife goodbye. And I got on that big old bus. And I'm telling you, oh, we all cried. I worked 6 days a week and witnessed to those tough old alcoholic roofers. Oh, boy. But one time I took one to church. But I was so lonely, I called home every night until I had a huge, huge phone bill. So one night I said to my wife, "Unless you and the kids come to be with me, I'm coming home." So they came to San Francisco, California. Well, now here's what I did, friends. I told God if I could save up $100, I would go over and enroll in seminary. It rained and it rained and it rained, so we couldn't work. So I went to work one morning and it was raining and the roofers were shooting dice in the back room. And they said, "Come on, preacher, put up some money." I said, "I don't gamble anymore." I walked into the paymaster's office and I said, "How much do I have coming?" He said, $40. I said, "Pay me. I'm going to seminary." I went to our motel and told my wife to get the kids packed. We're going to seminary. She said, "Do you have $100? "That's what you asked the Lord for." And I said, "No, I'm $60 short." So we got in that car and we took off across the bridge. Now that is traveling by faith. We went across to Oakland Bridge and I started looking in the newspaper for a job. We drove up and down the street, saw nothing, couldn't see nothing in the paper. All of a sudden, my kids were getting hungry, so we stopped at a $5 hamburger joint. And I asked the blessing, and I said, "Lord, we're here now because you sent us. I have to have a job and a place for my family to live. Please lead us in Jesus' name." After we finished eating, we were driving down the street, and out of the corner of my eye, I spotted a sign in the window, "Roofers Wanted." Boy, I turned that car around and went down and parked in front of it. I walked in and I said, "I'm a roofer." He said, "You're hired." He didn't ask my qualifications or nothing. He said, "Can you run a crew?" I said, "Of course I can." He said, "Well, I'm going to hire you as my foreman because he's in jail." Oh, my friends. Now, after I got the job, we drove down the street. We found a little apartment for $20 a week, fully furnished. God honored my faith, even if it was $60 short. Well, one day I went to the seminary, and I asked if I could see the one in charge. And she said, "Do you have an appointment?" I said, "No." So she rang Dr. Graves, and he said, "There's a young man here to see you." And he said, "I'm getting ready to go to an airport to fly to South America." I said, "It'll only take a minute." So she let me go in. Dr. Graves looked right through me and he said, "What do you need?" I said, "I'm one of your preacher boys from Seattle Instead of saying, praise the Lord, he said, how much education do you have? I said, high school and trade school and 1 year business college. And he said, go back, get 4 years college, and then come see me. Good day. I went out and I laid my head on the steering wheel and I wept. I said, Lord, I'm never going to be able to preach. But bless your soul, God encouraged me. And I did go on to Bible college. Left San Francisco with a boot in my front tire, 4 children, a wife, and $40. And we headed for Riverside, California. We had some lunch meat and some Pepsi-Cola and bread. I was the richest man in the world. All of this is because I followed God's traveling orders by faith. I want to close with this. Colossians 2:7. Let your roots grow down unto him, and let your lives be built on him. Then your faith will go strong in the truth you were taught, and you'll be overflow with thankfulness. Amen, amen, and amen. Friends, you can't outgive God. When God calls you for a job, he will give you the tools for the trade. But we have to be surrendered. We have to be available. I wished I could tell you tonight that I've always done what God asked me to do, and I haven't. But I've tried to tell people what Jesus has done for me. No, I'm not a great preacher, but oh, friends, listen. I'm sincere when I tell you. God Almighty loves you tonight. And Jesus Christ went to the cross because he loved you. And they drove those spikes in his hands and the thorns in his head. And they buried him in a borrowed tomb and rolled a big rock against it, knowing that they were going to shut him up. They didn't shut him up. 3 days later, a great earthquake came and Jesus came forth. Friends, he's alive today, and he stands at the right hand of the Father with his outstretched arms saying, son or daughter, come unto me, all ye labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Do you say, Cecil, you know what? I don't know the Lord myself. I'm not saved, but I want to be. Oh, I would like to follow this wonderful Lord that you talked about. And he'll give me faith. Yes, he will give you faith. But you got to repent. Turn your back on the old way of life. If you've got a tugging at your heart tonight, would you bow your head to me right now and pray this most powerful, powerful prayer? Goes like this. Dear Heavenly Father, in the precious, precious name of Jesus, Lord, I confess that I'm a sinner. And Lord, I'm asking you tonight to come into my heart and save me for Jesus' sake. Amen. If you prayed that prayer, get on the phone. Call 303-471-8534. I won't use your name on the air, and I won't embarrass you. And all friends, I won't sit down and write and ask you for any money. Don't care where you go to church. I'm only concerned where you spend eternity. If you can't afford this call, you call me collect, and I'll accept the charge. 303-471-8534. I'm waiting for your call. Well, friends, for the past half hour, your host, the evangelist Cecil Moen, I want to thank you so much for listening. Oh, friends, pray for us, will you? Pray for these prison services. You know, friends, there's nothing in all this world that stirs my heart more than to be able to sit down with a man or a woman or a boy or a girl and tell them of God's love. That's good news. That's the gospel. Pray for my knees, and I'm having lung trouble a little bit again, so pray for that. I appreciate it. Hey, you know, I believe that God hears and answers prayer, and I know you do too. Well, friends, until this time next Sunday night, I want you to be good to your neighbors. Stay sweet. Keep looking out for this wonderful, wonderful Jesus is coming soon. Good night, and may God bless you real, real good.